morning, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, president of the Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Today is very exciting and very informative. We have Andrew Hull on today. He is an ETF, an exchange-traded or electronically traded fund strategist with First Trust out of Chicago. And he's got a really unique topic today, and that is disruptive technology in the clean energy space. Now, we know that clean energy is just going after the oil and gas industry and the coal industry, too. In many ways, the clean energy industry is also going after the clean energy industry. So this is very exciting what we're going to talk about. I know most people don't know much about clean energy other than a wind farm or solar panels or solar on our house and getting a tax credit. But on a massive scale, it's in the billions and billions of dollars. So Andrew, let me welcome you to Meet the Expert.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. So I'm going to turn the show over to you, and I'm going to have you go through your presentation for everyone here. Keep in mind that our audience is very diversified and very varied, and knowledge is very varied. So we ask you to make it in terms that everyone can understand, because we all understand solar energy and maybe wind tunnels, but we don't understand the money and the industry behind it. And then when we're all done, let's come on back. And people will be sending me their questions, and I'll have a handful of questions for you. Okay.
All right. Sounds great. This is a great topic. I think it's very relevant today. It's on a lot of investors' minds. And in my role as a strategist at First Trust, one of the areas I get to focus on is these very narrow investment themes, which are these narrow industries that are experiencing long-term secular growth. And a lot of these are in new technology, disruptive innovations, and many of them are related to digital connectivity, but these kind of enabling platforms. But one of them that is really taken off over the last 12 to 18 months is the renewable energy industry. So it's very much a disruptive technology, like some of the other themes we talk about, like cloud computing or biotechnology, cybersecurity, those types of themes. What I'd like to do is just kind of go through the theme in general, kind of give the investment thesis, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions. So I do have a few slides, so let me jump over to those really briefly. And I think the first thing to really talk about with renewable energy theme is kind of where we've been looking back over the last 15 years or so. And as you can see, this is an industry that has experienced a tremendous amount of investment. So last year, $282 billion was invested in green and renewable energy. That's in 2019, the latest data available. But cumulatively, if you look over the last 15 years, you can see it's multi-trillions of dollars that have been invested here. And again, you can see more recently with the bars there on the chart, you can see the yellow is solar investment. And then the light blue is the wind energy industry. And you can see that's where the majority of the investment is going. Biofuels and biomass, a little bit less. You can see it's larger back in 2006 and 2007 than it is today. And this is a very much a global theme. And even here in the U.S., we're seeing tens of billions of dollars being invested in this. And we have for the last few years, $56 billion was invested in the U.S. in the renewable energy industry. And that's, you know, if you look at the last bar there, that takes up over a quarter of the world total. So that was even higher than China and Europe. So this is, while we think about wind energy, we often think of Europe or solar technology. We think of China maybe. This is very much a theme that is relevant here in the U.S. and is really taking off as far as investment is concerned. So that's kind of the past, kind of where we've been over the last 15 years or so. But let's kind of jump forward. You know, as investors, we're always trying to look to the future, trying to anticipate where the market is going to be and where investment is going to go. So why don't I talk about kind of maybe a short-term driver and then sort of the main primary long-term driver in the theme going forward. And the first one is in the short term, what we're seeing is a huge push, a public policy tailwind, if you will, around the world for this industry. So We call this sort of the green coronavirus response to the COVID-19 pandemic of last year and currently now in 2021 as well. So kind of in an effort to stimulate economic activity, governments around the world have been spending trillions and trillions of dollars through fiscal policy. And, you know, few industries really have benefited more than the renewable energy industry has in that sense, as far as when you look at the stimulus dollars, you know. So we look at this kind of as a tailwind for the industry, especially this year. And let me give you kind of some examples on just how big the market is for has been for this stimulus and this fiscal dollars going to the renewable energy industry. Earlier last summer, the European Union, they passed their long-term budget. They passed their fiscal stimulus package. 500 billion euros just in that one package went towards green initiatives, just a staggering amount. And that went for things like solar and wind projects, electric vehicles and public transportation, things like that. So that was at an EU level, but then individual European countries like Germany, France, Denmark, the UK, they all had tens of billions of their own dollars that they committed to green causes as well. Even beyond Europe, China, they sort of have a different economy, obviously, kind of a command and a control economy. But they're even talking about more investment in renewable sources of energy. And they're looking at potentially bringing forward some of their mandates, 20% of their electricity from renewable power in the next 10 years. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but that's, again, to get there, that's tens of billions, if not trillions of dollars in investment. To get there. So here in the U.S., obviously, in 2021, we're recording this now. We know the outcome of the election. We know the White House, both houses of Congress went to the Democratic Party. And I think we all know that, you know, climate change and green renewable power and electricity is high on the priority list for the Democratic Party. So there's a lot of uncertainty about potentially more stimulus and what that's going to look like. But we think if, you know, there is another round of infrastructure spending, that this industry is likely to be a large beneficiary. We know that candidate Joe Biden last summer, he came out with a $2 trillion climate plan is what he called it. It remains to be seen what that's going to look like now that he's the president. But we all know that he's absolutely in favor of reduced emissions and things like that. So we think given the political tailwinds, the results of the election, as well as this collision of coronavirus stimulus response and green energy, we think over the short term, over the next year, a few years, the outlook is very bright for this industry. But sort of beyond that, I think that's kind of where maybe what's driven a lot of the outperformance in this sector over the last 12 months, 6 months, things like that. But if you look longer term, I think what's maybe even more important than that is what I have on the screen here. And this is really the foundation. This is what's really, we think, is going to drive the renewable energy industry forward in the next 5 to 10 years. And that is simply the economics behind it. So if you look at the chart on the left, you can see that the cost of solar and wind technology has fallen dramatically. And this is just over the last 6 to 7 years. In fact, it's fallen so dramatically that it's actually economically competitive with traditional sources of fuel like coal and natural gas. On the right, you can see just how much these technologies have dropped. You can see solar on the left has fallen about 82% over the last decade. Concentrating solar power, these are your solar farms, that technology and the power that's generated from those farms has fallen 47%. And then, of course, on and offshore wind fallen 30 to 40% over the last 10 years. So this is huge. This is absolutely a game changer. And this is an industry that has now reached a tipping point to where it can stand on its own 2 feet. These are technologies that are competitive, like I mentioned, with traditional sources of energy. But the bottom line is they don't need government subsidies. They don't need fiscal stimulus and tax incentives and things like that to really stand on their own anymore. They're very much competitive over the long term. And one that's technology that's not on this chart is lithium ion batteries. battery costs per kilowatt hour have dropped almost 90% over the last 10 years. So when we talk about electric vehicles, that's part of this transition to new sources of energy. And battery technology, the cost of those batteries has fallen just like some of these other technologies. So we think this is really the bedrock for the adoption and the rate of growth in this space to continue like it is. So this chart here just shows kind of where we are and gives some context. So this is the world share of global electricity generation. And you can see we're just under 10% last year of electricity generated worldwide is from wind and solar. But if you look, you know, it might not sound like that much, but just 5 years ago, we were about half of what we were today last year. And wind and solar power generation increased actually 14% in 2020 compared to the prior year. So it's huge growth, even though it's still very much a minority as far as where we're getting our electricity globally. Obviously, coal is still dominant, but you can see these are technologies that are eating away at market share every year, every month going forward. We're in that sort of rapid growth phase for a lot of these renewable energy technologies. So this is the world. The question is, okay, what does that kind of look like here in the U.S.? And I think this is a really fascinating chart. This is from the EIA, basically the government sort of statistical department within the Department of Energy. And what they show is that in 2019, coal actually dropped below, this is energy consumption. So Americans actually consumed more electricity from renewable sources in 2019. And this is going back 70 years. So you can see that this is absolutely something that's almost unprecedented, you could say. And just to explain a little bit, the black line there is coal, obviously declining pretty dramatically, and then renewables, the green line increasing as well. So and what's interesting about this, too, is that President Trump was a very much an outspoken supporter of the coal industry. And yet, despite that, the economics really drove renewables to be take up more of a share of electricity generation and electricity consumption than coal did. So again, that kind of goes to show that this is a technology, this is an innovation that it's sort of like a boulder or a snowball rolling downhill. Now that the economics are working in its favor, it's just picking up more and more steam, and we expect the trend here to continue. Going forward, kind of regardless of what the political, who's in office, and what the public policy tailwind is. Long term, we think these trends are going to continue. So bottom line, I think just kind of wrapping it up here, we think this energy transition is well underway worldwide, but even here in the U.S. And so whether you're looking at wind and solar or you're looking at advanced battery technology, all of it, we think, is it's just a matter of time before it becomes potentially the majority of where we get our electricity and how our cars are fueled. So bottom line, you know, for investors, we think this is very much a bright space. We think there's a lot of growth ahead. Certainly, there's been a lot of that growth that's been priced into some of the names that are innovators and really large in this space, but we think there's going to be continued growth and a tremendous opportunity ahead. So with that, I'll stop and turn it back over to you, Elliot, if there's any questions.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, I have a few questions. Some of our clients are interested in a few other ideas. And so does the solar, I have maybe five questions here. Let me start with the geopolitical question, then I get to the energy specific question, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
And that is with many of these new technologies, solar, even the batteries, we'll take the name Tesla out of this conversation since that's now the 800-pound gorilla in batteries. But the minerals come from China. And we are at some form of economic war with China right now. So how does that play out on the chain of supply, the supply chain in this industry?
Yeah, that is very much a thing that's top of mind for a lot of investors, a lot of people looking at the industry. And I think, you know, in the long term, I think it's in both both parties' interests, right? It's in the interest of the U.S. It's the interest of the Chinese to work together to come up with a solution to this. I know domestically they're trying to ramp up a lot of the mining for silicon and lithium in places like Nevada, I believe, and some of the Western other Western states in the U.S. So there's definitely a push domestically to try to get more access to those minerals and those critical inputs for advanced batteries. But, you know, I would say there is, I agree with you, kind of a cold war between the U.S. and China economically. But I think, you know, there's such huge opportunity and such huge advantage to working together that I think ultimately, I think, you know, both countries are going to be able to figure something out and see if we can get that lithium out of the ground and continue to advance this energy transition.
Okay, let me talk to you for a moment about tax credits and how they fund the industry. And I do want to end with the fact that you have a product that's in several of our portfolios. So if clients are asking, how do I invest in this industry? How do I take advantage of it? Give us a call, because we've now added clean energy to portfolios and we're using the First Trust product. So that's a little plug for what you folks are doing there. But, mm-hmm. you know, is there a solar energy without solar credits? And really, what Tesla has done a great job, Elon Musk has done a world-class job doing, is understanding the tax code, because he's losing money on every vehicle he sells, but he's making money because of the tax code. And so if there's no real profitability outside the tax code, is this really a viable future?
Yeah, that is one criticism of the industry in general, is that it relies on these government subsidies and tax credits and things like that. And I think that's been true, certainly prior in this decade. And, you know, I don't want to get too far into the weeds on individual companies or anything, but I think this is a technology, like I mentioned with a slide earlier, that it is able to stand on its own 2 feet. And this is from a number of different independent sources that are looking at the cost of these new technologies and the cost of the energy they produce. And what they're saying is that even without these subsidies, so in general, you know, taking Tesla or any individual names out of the discussion for a moment, I think these are technologies that are truly able to stand on their own 2 feet. You know, I don't think that's something that could have been said not that long ago, just a few years ago, where they absolutely had to rely on incentives and tax credits and things like that. A lot of cases, those tax credits and incentives are still in place. And so that's going to be an additional driver, even though the economics, the foundation, the bedrock behind these technologies, they're competitive on their own. They have that additional tailwind now of those tax credits, there's sort of legacy tax credits and things that are still in place. So I would say it's an interesting debate, but I think, you know, for investors looking forward, it's all going to be tailwinds for rapid adoption and further growth in the industry.
Okay. And you think, is there a technology coming down the road for solar that we think is smaller, it miniaturizes it? It takes the semiconductor industry and applies it to the solar industry, meaning it miniaturizes it. So today's panel is, let's say, 4 feet by 6 feet. Is there a time I'm going to see a solar panel on my car that's 1 inch by 1 inch?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if I have a great answer for that, but we've seen rapid growth in everything from the semiconductor industry to just how efficient these are, especially, you know, semiconductors are, like you mentioned, are absolutely critical for getting this this flow of electricity. You know, if you're generating it on your car or your house or whatever it may be, getting that back into the grid and doing it efficiently. And they're absolutely critical for that. And so I think I don't know if I have a great answer for you on that one, but I think we're going to see, you know, this is an industry that it's seeing a ton of investment, like I previously showed, you know, tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars in investment. And so I think we're going to continue to see a massive amount of innovation, and I wouldn't rule out anything like that, certainly in the future.
All right. Well, two more quick questions, Andrew, and I really appreciate your time. And that is, the first question is about the lithium battery. I know the lithium battery is here right now, but is the lithium battery gone tomorrow? What's the next technology beyond the lithium battery?
Yeah, I think right now it seems like the lithium battery, I mean, it's been around for a long time, decades. And so right now it seems like most of the development is continuing on with the lithium battery, making it more efficient, changing the design of it. Some of us probably watched the Tesla battery day a few months ago and just all the innovation going on within the lithium battery space. And so I think it's a form factor. It's a technology that can still be innovated, still, design changes and tweaks and things like that. I don't think we're anywhere near a point where we've gotten all we can out of the lithium battery. So I wouldn't say it's going anywhere anytime soon. And in fact, it's being adopted in a lot of places, like wind and solar farms, some of the mega packs and things like that. These batteries are being rolled out, right alongside or right in the middle of a wind farm to be able to capture that energy and store it. That was always kind of the issue with wind technology and solar technology, was there no way to store the energy for when the wind didn't blow and the sun wasn't out. But now with these advanced batteries, they're able to capture that when it is windy and keep that energy, store it and utilize it when it's not windy. So I think the sky's the limit in a lot of senses for battery technology.
Okay, and last question, Andrew, and that is about hydrogen power. The idea that, I know there's a European car maker that has a pickup truck that basically it uses some type of power to split the atom, or split the, not the atoms, to split the molecules of hydrogen and oxygen, and it takes the hydrogen and it powers, let's say your car, your truck, it powers that and it converts the balance of it to water. And so you're basically making fresh water, and the only thing coming out of your exhaust pipe is water vapor. So what's the future of hydrogen power?
Yeah, hydrogen is an interesting one. It doesn't have quite the investment that battery packs, lithium ion does right now. And I think it still has, the technology has some detractors. Some people say it's not the future. It's not going to work. It's too unstable as a fuel source compared to lithium ion. But it remains to be seen. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an expert as far as exactly how it works and the best way to make it safe and feasible for everybody to use. It is certainly a very inexpensive source of power. And, there's a number of companies that we've looked at and that we implement in our portfolios that are developing some potential solutions in that space. So it remains to be seen. I'm not sure. I think lithium ion batteries are being adopted, and that's kind of where a lot of the push is from an investment standpoint.
Well, great. This has been really informative. And again, if you're interested as an investor, as a consumer, in finding more about this and how to invest in this market and just understand this, give us a call. We'll go over it. We've added it to our portfolios, and we can have that conversation to see if it fits with your risk profile and you fully understand what you're investing in. So we've been talking with Andrew Hull. He's an ETF strategist with First Trust, Disruptive Technologies, Clean Technology. Andrew, thank you for being part of this today.
And thanks, Elliot. Great to speak with you.
Have a great day, everybody.